You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This A's Cast download is brought to you by LinkSoul. Go to LinkSoul.com and by Nest Bedding. Love where you sleep. Go to NestBedding.com.
Looking for the latest on the A's minor leagues? One of the latest additions to A's Cast is The Farm. A look around the minor leagues with interviews, updates, and profiles on the future A's tearing up the minors.
Welcome to our A's Farm podcast. I'm your host, AthleticsFarm.com Editor-in-Chief Bill Moriarty. And today, we're going to be talking with longtime A's Special Assistant, Grady Fuson. He's the A's former scouting director. He's known as one of the top talent evaluators in the game, and he's also deeply involved in the A's player development system. So now that we're a couple of weeks into the minor league season, we wanted to take the opportunity to check in with Grady. We talked to him about some of the A's top prospects and also found out the reasons behind the 10-man pitching rotations that the A's have been experimenting with at the lower levels of the system this season. Hey, thanks for joining me today, Grady.
Good to be with you, Bill.
So, as we know, the A's, the major league team is still a very young team. There's a lot of the young guys that we've been following through the system who are there with the squad now. And before we get into, some of the guys in the minor leagues, I wanted to just ask you about some of these guys. You've got, Geloff and Butler came up last year. You've got Hernandez, McCann, and Schumann making their big league debuts this year. Esteury Ruiz is back with the big club now. I'm just curious, are there any of those guys in particular that you're really eager to see how their time in the big leagues is going to play out?
Well, I think all of them. I'm many more years down the road with McCann's and Geloff's and players like that. Hernandez obviously was a newbie to us last year, but obviously quite a year he had last year and opened everybody's eyes. But, it's really good to see, especially, McCann and Schumann are close to my heart. All the work that we've done with Shu over the years and remaking his moves and his swings a little bit after he left Beloit way back then. We knew we had something. And McCann has been probably as good a teammate on every club he's played. He's worked hard. He's improved himself as a defender. So, it's nice to develop and move up the line our own players.
Yeah, I've been eager to see McCann and Schumann get a chance for a long time, as I'm sure you probably have too. And I was wondering for a while if that would ever happen, but so I'm really glad to see them up there with the big club this year. And as I mentioned, Esteury Ruiz just rejoined the big club. Where do you feel he's at? Obviously, he's got a lot of dynamic skills, but he obviously had some issues as well. Where do you think we're at with Ruiz at this point?
I think we're still in a growing period. I mean, you said it right. His skill set is off the charts. But there's just some things about his game that just need some work. I mean, his discipline at the plate, the consistency to contact in the zone, and even as well as he runs, some pre-pitch moves, better anticipation, better routes to baseballs and center. But like you said, it's always good to try and bring that out of a player with his tool set rather than not. So we'll see where it goes, but he's back up there. He had a interesting couple of weeks in AAA where he really performed well and all the things seemed to be better in that short period of time. But that was a short window. But he's back in the big leagues. I know he hit another homer today, I think. So we'll see.
Well, hopefully he can keep it going. There's still a number of guys down in AAA in Vegas who, you know, at any point could be joining the big club as well. I wanted to start out by asking you about your one of your former first round picks, Tyler Soderstrom, who had some time with the big club late last year, struggled a bit in the major leagues. He's still very young. I think he's still, 22, is he? He's back at Vegas. He's certainly been showing the power. He's hit 5 home runs in the early going. But where do you feel things are at with Tyler Soderstrom? And what's he, you know, got to do to get over to that hump to be able to be a regular, productive major league player?
Well, when you think about his developmental path, he was, you know, he was kind of rushed through the system because physically he was doing well. But when you look at some of the, you know, the key parts that go to performing on a daily basis in the big leagues, you know, I say this word all the time, just the level of discipline at the plate got him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, should he have gone up? Was he unprepared? Not necessarily, but at the same time, he could use more seasoning and, you know, his defense continues to get better. And he's just got to get to a point where he matures into what we consider a professional hitter, where he can put his eyes and his brain together with that great swing he's got.
Yeah, I mean, he never did have a full season at AA or AAA before he got to the major leagues. So, you know, he definitely got fast-tracked. But hopefully he is still quite young. And, you know, hopefully he's got the time to make those adjustments that you mentioned.
Sometimes those moves are made, you know, because of a need. You know, mm-hmm. players go down and where do you go to get help? And sometimes you got to bring up a player before you truly feel he's ready. And sometimes that's not a bad deal. Give him a taste of where you see his future going and then see how he does. And if he stumbles a little bit, you've got room to go back and get some things fixed. So, hopefully that's what he's doing.
Yeah, well, at least now he definitely knows what hitting in the major leagues looks like, right?
Yeah.
Another former first-round pick you've got at Vegas this year is shortstop Max Muncy. And he's still just 21. You know, he's got to be one of the youngest position players in the Pacific Coast League at this point. And, you know, he had a really good second half at AA Midland last year. And he seems to have gotten off to a pretty good start with AAA Vegas this year as well. Again, another very young guy at AAA. Where do you feel Max Muncy's at in his development, and what's left for him to figure out to be able to get his shot in the big leagues?
You know, obviously he had his best baseball that he's played with us was that second half in Midland last year, and mm-hmm. and everybody knows about his what he can bring to the table. Like you said, he's very young still, so the growing pains are still there as far as developing consistency to his talents. You know, he makes some errors throwing from time to time, and you know, there's a swing and miss element in there that we continue to work on. But he's competed very well, and when you look at where he goes from here, you'd have to say he's not that far away from getting his opportunity up there at some point.
Right. And how do you feel about his play at shortstop and the possibility of him maybe, you know, maybe moving over to third base at some point? What do you feel are his defensive options may be in the big leagues?
Well, you know, it's all going to depend on the timing of when he goes up there and where the need is. If Nick Allen starts to become a little bit more offensive and he proves that he's going to stick to that role, then that's a different story for Hernai and Muncy of the guys would be the easiest one to say maybe moves to third or second at some point. But now you're talking about Geloff.
Right.
And don't forget about, you know, Jacob Wilson coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we we have some issues, but they're good issues.
Yeah, there's certainly no shortage of prospects on the left side of the infield in the system at this point. And another guy, speaking of the left side of the infield, I wanted to ask you about at Vegas is third baseman Brett Harris. You know, not as high profile of some of these other guys, but, you know, he's certainly always performed well. He's gotten off to a good start at AAA this season. I'm just curious what you see out of Brett Harris.
Same story as it was a year ago. I mean, this guy's just a very good baseball player on both sides of the ball. You're right. He doesn't come with all the glaring tools that create excitement in some of the magazines and articles like that. But as far as catching it, throwing it, putting balls in play, hitting doubles, playing the game the right way, this Brett's got it going on. So he's another one that's in short order at some point. To get a look up there.
Yeah, I certainly love to see him get an opportunity at some point. And I wanted to ask you about just one guy on the pitching staff there in Vegas who I think I have to consider the most promising pitching prospect there at Vegas, and that's young right-hander Joey Estes. I believe he's still just 22, which is quite young to be pitching in the Pacific Coast League. And, he got a brief look with Oakland at the end of last year. And, unfortunately, he's gotten off to a bit of a rough start in the PCL in the early going. I think home runs have been the problem. He's given up 7 home runs in his first 3 starts this season. But tell me what you've seen out of Joey Estes and what you, project for him going forward.
Joey's been great. I mean, he had a great year last year, probably the pitcher of the year in our system, without a doubt. Got a taste of the big league, came back, had a tremendous camp, both major league and minor league camp. And the biggest thing that he was doing in camp, which is obviously what he's not doing now, he's really doing a very good job at the bottom of the strike zone. As you know, trying to live middle up in Las Vegas is a ticket for disaster. And that's kind of what's got him right there. But Joey's going to be a big leaguer. It's just a matter of, when.
Yeah, he certainly looks like he's got a good future ahead of him, and I'm sure there are always going to be a few bumps in the road when you're pitching in the Pacific Coast League, and particularly in Las Vegas. Particular challenges that go along with that, but hopefully.
Yeah, it's hard to follow. You got to read between the lines in Las Vegas when it comes to our pitchers to help you evaluate what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's kind of an interesting question. I mean, how do you guys go factoring in that whole situation at Vegas, the ballpark or the league where, balls are just flying out left and right? I mean, how difficult does that make it for you to properly or accurately evaluate some of these young pitchers there?
Well, it makes it hard because you got to use, other avenues. You just can't read a line score and say, oh, this guy pitched really good or he pitched really bad. And so, it's his pitch location and when pitches are called, is he hitting the mitt? It's exit velos off of him. Some of these, 91 mile an hour exit velos are carrying out of ballparks where they would be pop flies in Oakland. So, you got to look at it a little bit a different way. The hardest thing is on them, having to pitch in an environment where, they literally just can't make mistakes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing for you guys to be able to take a step back and objectively look at their performance, but it's a little harder when you're the guy out on the mound watching those balls fly over your head to kind of keep it together. Right.
Yeah. It has a tendency of wreaking havoc, You end up wanting to nibble because you don't want to miss spots. And right. Next thing you know, you nibble too much and you start getting in deep counts. You start walking guys. And, if you're not on top of it, things can go haywire.
Well, let's talk about some guys in a slightly less dangerous hitting environment, and that's at AA Midland. And, you know, once again, there's kind of a boatload of prospects there on the Midland squad to start the season. And I wanted to start out by asking you about last year's first-round pick, Jacob Wilson, shortstop. He got off to a good start there. He's been hitting the ball well. And, you know, I know he got pulled out in the middle of a game last week and hasn't been in the lineup for a few days. But what do you think about where things are at with Jacob Wilson from what you've seen?
He's way ahead of where he should be. He is some kind of player. The more I put my eyes on this guy, the more I fall in love with him. I mean, he's just very consistent with his hands and his footwork. He's a very accurate thrower. He gives you a competitive at bat every time you see him. He had a little time in big league camp and impressed, had a great minor league camp. You know, there was a time there where it could have gone him and Lansing, Muncy back in AA and Hernandez in AAA. But as things worked out, they all got jumped a level. And, you know, when you look at the early part of this year, he's jumped out and he's played, swung the bat very well. And I think he's only made one error on the season. So we need to get him back healthy, get him going again. But this guy's got a chance to be a star, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly looks like a guy who could be on the fast track. I know, you know, there was always a question about, will he be able to hit the ball hard enough, you know, to hit the ball with enough authority.
But that's still out there. I will say this. He finally got interested in the weight room. He came to camp 10 pounds stronger. The ball is coming off a little hotter, you know, so you look another year or two down the road where he takes his physical strength and what's going to happen to the exit velos and things like that. I think it's a very positive path.
Yeah, let's hope so. Another former first-round pick you've got there at Midland this year is catcher Daniel Susak. You know, he certainly hit well for average last year at Lansing, hit over 300. And he, again, hasn't played, been in the lineup for the last few days there at Midland, so we haven't gotten too good a look at him yet. But what do you think about the situation with Daniel Susak, where he's at?
He's done well. You know, he's continuing to develop behind the plate. He's always been a decent thrower, especially for a big man who likes to throw from his knees. The development currently is something we started the middle of last year, is getting him how to understand how to pull the baseball with some type of elevation. And he's improving at it. We spent a lot of time in camp on it, and that's getting better. So I expect some of those home run numbers to maybe go up a little bit this year, because he's such a good hitter to the middle, to the opposite part of the ballpark. But as you know, that's the hardest area of the field to homer in. So when you look at guys that put up home run numbers, they have a skill of how to pull the ball out of the short parts of the ballpark, and that's something he's going to need to have.
Yeah, certainly if he can develop that power, that'll certainly make him an even more lethal weapon at this point. As I mentioned, Wilson and Susak have both been out of the lineup since late last week. I don't think there's anything seriously wrong with them, right? They're just a little banged up from various things here and there, right?
Okay. Yeah. Jacob's got some swollen fingers from sliding head first in the second, I think, and Danny's got, I think it's a forearm, not a shoulder, but I don't think it's on his throwing arm. But he'll be back. Okay. They're both getting ready to come back soon here.
Good. Well, it'll be good to see them both back in that Midland lineup soon. Another very intriguing talent there at Midland is outfielder Denzel Clark. You know, he put up a very good first half before he got hurt, and I believe he had shoulder surgery and, you know, has been coming back from that. But what have you seen out of Denzel Clark, or where do you feel we're at with him?
Well, very disappointed to his start. I mean, we got him all cleaned up and, you know, as far as finishing his rehab and everything, and he got plenty of at-bats in spring training to be able to have a little bit better start than he's had. The strikeouts are quite high right now through 30-some at-bats, and, you know, that is currently the most disappointing part of it. So hopefully I'm going in there next week and take another look and we'll see where it goes.
Good. Well, if you can,
his other skills haven't changed.
He's still got power. He's still got speed. He's still a very big, imposing presence at the plate. Yeah. Well, hopefully you
and
can
dynamic get center fielder.
Yeah, as I said, it's very rare these days that you see a big guy with power and who can play center field. I mean, I can't think of too many since Andre Dawson, really. Hopefully you can get down there to Midland and help Denzel get it straightened out, get him on track anyway. another, really promising young outfielder there at Midland this year is Colby Thomas. He had a good season last year, and he's just gotten off to a tremendous start at Midland. He's probably been one of the best hitters in the entire Texas League in the early going. He's collecting his hits. He's hitting home runs. He's just sort of been doing everything in the early going. And, he might be a prospect that people don't know quite so much about, but Colby Thomas certainly looks to be quite promising at this point. What are your impressions of him?
Well, people should know him. He's a second-round pick, and he put a pretty good season last year between Stockton and Lansing. He's doing what he does. He's aggressive. He's got tremendous hand speed and bat speed. The ball jumps off the bat. He can go out of the ballpark any part of the yard. He's a runner. He's another guy that when it all gets said and done and he starts to learn how to have a little bit more control of the strike zone, he's got a chance to come with some real star power. He's not a big man, but he's fairly physical and quick twitch. And it's great to see him get off to the start he's in.
Yeah, another guy at Midland who's gotten off to a tremendous start, who people might not know so much about, is first baseman Brennan Malone. I know when he was drafted, I think he played mainly third base in college. You guys had him playing some second, and he seems to have landed at first. And, again, he's been hitting really well at Midland to start with, getting on base a lot. Looks like a guy who can really handle the bat well. But tell me, what we ought to know about Brennan Malone.
Well, he was a guy that bounced around a couple colleges, and the one thing that he always did was hit. We've had him now for, 2.5 years? And, he's on the outs a little bit defensively. There's always been some throwing issues and footwork issues. But the one thing that he has done wherever we've played him is he's swung the bat. He's got a very unique style, which he lifts the front foot up and he kind of gets uphill. And he's kind of fought that a little bit, and he's kind of toned it down a little bit. But, once again, he walked into spring training and just hit his way into this opportunity to put a first baseman glove on, and let's go to Double-A and just keep hitting, see where it takes us.
If you keep hitting, eventually you'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, hitters play, man.
Well, yeah, besides hitters, there's also a number of, kind of intriguing young pitching prospects at Midland this year. A lot of them, have had injury histories or, other issues, and, they're trying to get back on track there at Midland. And in particular, Ryan Cusick and Gunnar Hoagland, seem to have gotten off to pretty good starts. Ryan Cusick was named the Texas League Pitcher of the Week last week, and he'd failed to allow a run yet in his first couple starts. But tell me where you think we're at with Cusick and Hoagland.
Well, Cusick obviously had a dynamic start last week. I think a one-hitter, six punch-outs. He's got a better lane to the plate that he's repeating. And he's come up with a curveball instead of the sweeper slider that is really starting to show some improvement and be really effective. But the biggest thing is he's just really throwing better strikes, especially up and down in the strike zone. And obviously, this is a guy that can go upper 90s, and he's having a lot of success in. So this is a kid that's worked really hard at his delivery and and his timing moves to get where he's at. His stuff is still all hard. You know, there's not a lot of touch. There's not a lot of softness in there, but he's using his changeup when he can. Gunnar Hogan, it's just nice to see the kid get healthy and feel good and be able to repeat on the mound and get this time in that he's missed. And, you know, he's a strike thrower. He's been pitching pretty good, and it's just good to see him healthy and being able to take the mound every fifth day.
Yeah, it seems like his velocity's been back up again too, which, you know, has got to be a good sign after the surgery and everything.
Yeah, he goes anywhere 91, 95, it kind of settles 92, somewhere in there, so, which is plenty.
You know, they've got six starting pitchers sort of working in that rotation. Also, Roybert Salinas, Brady Basso, JT Ginn, Blake Beers seems to be performing in a tandem role there. Any of those guys that stand out to you that you're particularly, you know, eager to see how they perform this season?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Brady's, Basso's. It's nice to get him healthy again and get him going. He's back throwing a little spread finger changeup, which we all knew last year in Lansing, he didn't throw very much. And you know, we tried talking to him about, hey, listen, the next level and above, you're going to need that pitch. So we really started with that. He had a great camp, very competitive kid, very serious about his craft. JT Ginn has come back healthy now. Hopefully he stays healthy. Got a great sinker, off speed, solid. Would like to see him a little bit more aggressive and challenging. At times, he's a very slow worker, but so far, so good.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Yeah, the bullpen there at Midland has a few interesting arms too. Guys like Stevie Emmanuels, Grant Holman, Pedro Santos. Any of those guys you've particularly got your eye on, or you think we ought to keep our eye on going forward?
All of them. Yeah, all of them. I mean, Grant Holman's been great. He's been closing down there and throwing 95 and 96, a great changeup and breaking ball. And Stevie's been flawless. Stevie had a flawless major league camp. I'm not sure he gave up a run in minor league camp. And I think he gave up his first run the other night or something. But, you know, command is the whole thing with Stevie. His stuff is off the charts as well with velocity and a breaking ball. So it's good to see him settle in and you know, throwing strikes a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly got a lot of promising arms there. If everyone can stay healthy and pitch to their capabilities, there could be some names we'll see moving up before long. All right, I wanted to touch on a handful of guys at the lower levels that high A and low A, who, you know, seem to be standouts at this point anyway. And at Lansing, first baseman Will Simpson, who you drafted last year, not a super high draft pick, but, man, he did nothing but hit when he played for Stockton last year, and he's come out of the box just, you know, clearly being the hitting star at Lansing in the early going. So tell me what we ought to know about Will Simpson.
Awesome kid, big man, athletic. How this guy left 16th round is beyond me. He's a very good defensive first baseman. He's got big power. You know, he's just in that place where he's learning how to be a hitter, and he's got the makeup to do it. He's got the eyesight to do it. He's just in that developing mode, but chance to really come with some upside. And his athleticism is going to carry him.
Well, and probably the most high-profile prospect at Lansing this year is Henry Bolte, who, you know, still very young. He had a good season last year at Stockton. Tell me what you've seen out of Henry Bolte and, you know, what you foresee for his development path.
He's the triples king. I've never seen a guy hit more triples in my life. if he hits the ball in the right center field gap, it's a triple. You know, as your viewers know, I mean, this guy is tooled up, man. He's a big kid. He's still a teenager, I think. He can really run. He can really throw. He's a defender. He's got huge raw power. You know, the deal with him was a lot of swing and miss early in his baseball life. And we've from high school, and we cut it down a little bit last year, and we're expecting to cut it down a little bit more this year. So, you know, that's the path we're on, just making him a hitter.
That's not an uncommon path. A guy with, you know, raw talent and skills, and now you're just trying to refine it and get him to be a little more selective. I think with a lot of guys like that, it's often the case that they can get the bat on so many balls that they think they should swing at everything, and then, you know, it turns out that actually there's only so many pitches you can really do real damage with, and you've got to help them try to figure out which pitches those are, right?
Yeah, without a doubt, and it's got to be trained. But, you know, so many of these kids are in that spot where they come to us with a good amount of skills and tools, and you got to put them in a position where they can play every day and or as play as much as you can so that they get these reps and build on these repetitions, so that they're developing a plan, a routine of how things work over a course of time. When you think about playing the game 6-7 months a year and you want to be good at it, you have to have routines that you do individually that get you ready for competition every night. So, you know, you can't just be out there floating around and not have your head in the game and the good ones figured out. And it's too bad that so many of others don't.
Right.
because it's a very, very hard business.
It's like the rest of life. You can't do nothing without a plan, right?
Yeah.
Well, in terms of the pitching staff there, you know, it looks like at both Lansing and Stockton, each team has about 10 starting pitchers that they're deploying in these sort of five two-man tandems, at least in the early going so far. At least at the beginning of the season, it looks like James Gonzalez has certainly been the pitching standout at Lansing. But I want to mention some of the other starters there, too. Also, they've got Mitch Myers, Jose De Cachea, Luis Carrasco, Jacob Waters, Wander Guante, Eduardo Rivera, Blaise Pontes is starting now. Grant Judkins is back, Jake Garland. Just out of that whole pool of starting pitchers there, is there anybody that sort of stands out to you that has your attention? And also, what do you think of the start that James Gonzalez has gotten off to there?
He was like that last year in Stockton. He can be very, very dominant when he's in the strike zone. You know, all of them have our attention, and this whole 10-man rotation that we're doing is of my doing. It's something that I did years ago here in Oakland, and I took to Texas, and I used it in San Diego before I came back. And the reason we're doing this, and I've got so much support from, you know, David Forrest all the way down through our medical and strength conditioning, is trying to beat the system on the things that we've lost our toehold with, which is velocity and injuries and strike throwing. So what this 10-man does is give guys an opportunity, like the starting pitcher goes 75 pitches. Well, if he wants to get a W, he needs to get that done in 75 pitches, which means he needs to get to the fifth, which creates an interest in being more efficient. More strike throwing, not just wasting bullets to see how hard I can throw. And they're being used twice a week. They're still getting in 120 pitches a week, but they're getting it in two different venues.
Right.
And what this is also creating, it's creating so they're not so taxed after throwing. They're not throwing 100 and 105, 110 pitches. They're throwing 75 or 45. when they do their side with their pitching coach, they feel better. Their arm feels better. They're more crisp than a pitching coach, and the pitcher can get more things accomplished. So I've been pushing this for the last few years, and finally I got some support. And, you know, we're just using it a ball down.
Right.
You know, once they go to double A, you open it back up. But our biggest thing with these young pitchers is A, health, and B, strikes. And those are the things that this last generation of kids developing at a young age with nothing but velocity and drive line and things like that. But they don't teach kids how to pitch. They just teach them how to throw harder. And so what you've seen all through baseball is a group of guys that velocities are up, but strike throwing is down. And if you want to get ahead of the system, you have to come up with some ways to kind of battle through this and get pitchers to understand what is necessary to be big league pitchers.
Yeah, it certainly seems like the emphasis has been in almost entirely on velocity in recent times. So I guess this is kind of designed to be a bit of an antidote to that then.
You know, the biggest thing I'm watching for is is health. We have got to get ahead of the curve on how many of these pitchers are just breaking down on us. So if we can keep them healthy through the age of 23, 24, maybe 25, I think their health risk after that goes way down. And but the bottom line is it's just keeping them healthy when they're young.
Certainly seems to be an epidemic of injured pitchers. And, you know, at any point in time, you look at the list of injured pitchers in any organization, and it's you know, monumental. You know,
I mean, yeah, I don't know how the game would ever self-sustain itself the way it's been going.
Yeah, it seems like you're pitching rehab coordinator has more to do than your healthy pitching coordinator, you know. So one other guy that was supposed to start the year at Lansing this year, who's, you know, opened the season on the IL, is the, you know, promising young pitcher Luis Morales. Can you tell me, I guess it was the shoulder issue that sort of held him back, and where we're at with him and maybe when we might be able to see him in action this season?
Yeah, he's just been battling some fatigue more than soreness. I mean, there has been some soreness come and go, but he just seems fatigued. And instead of pushing it and sending him back out, we just left him in Arizona where we could manage, you know, when he pitches and how much he pitches. Things have been better, and I think we'll get ready to move him out here sometime quick.
Good. So he has been throwing at the complex there in Arizona and working himself up into shape to be ready to presumably join Lansing before too long then.
Yeah, I think he went 3 innings the other day. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, let's just quickly touch on a few guys at Stockton before we wrap up here. Of course, Miles Naylor, a very high profile prospect, is playing shortstop down there. Again, very young guy. I think he's still a teenager and, you know, getting started there in the California League. But what have you seen out of Miles Naylor now that you've had a chance to get a little better look at him since the draft?
Miles has got some impact ability. He's a big, physical, young teenager. And, you know, when he squares it, the ball comes up hot. He's got huge power, especially to the opposite side of the diamond. He's got good moves at short. He's not as quick, say, as a Nick Allen or a Jacob Wilson or even as a Muncy. He's more of a, you know, just a movable shortstop. You know, it's the jury's still out if he stays there his whole career or not. But, you know, his big thing is we're just trying to hopefully, you know, improve on that swing and miss that he has in that game. And, you know, there's always going to be strikeouts from all these guys, but try to get this thing under control a little bit where it just doesn't ruin the entire season and becomes a 200 strikeout guy. So, you know, we got concerned last year when we did send him to Stockton how high the strikeout rate was. And, you know, it's going to be something that we're just going to have to manage and stay on and see how much improvement we can get out of him. Talented kid, though.
Yeah, like we said, we're still very young. I think he's 19, if I'm correct. So, you know, he's got some time. A couple of guys from last year's draft who've gotten off to good starts there at Stockton, really good starts there at Stockton, are catcher Cole Kahn and outfielder Nate Dankill. I'm curious to get your impressions of him because, you know, I don't think most of us know that much about him at this point.
Yeah, Cole Kahn's a later round pick that doesn't look the part. He's not a very physical kid. You look at him sometimes and say, oh, we got a high school receiver here, but he's just done really well. He's caught well. He's throwing well. He's got a knack for putting a baseball bat on the ball. Just hope he continues to play well. Nankiel's different because of the swing and the uniqueness. He's got a lot of moves in his swing similar to Malone that we talked about earlier, very uphill at times. There's definite power there. I was concerned that he would get off to a little bit rougher start than he has, but you know, so far at this point he's been fine. So another development case in the making.
And, you know, as we mentioned, Stockton's also working with 10 starting pitchers deployed in those five two-man tandems. A couple of guys who've been standouts in the early going were guys that you drafted last year. One is left-hander Will Johnston, who's really impressed in his first couple outings. And right-hander Jackson Finley's looked pretty good as well. Just curious to get your impressions of those two starting pitchers at Stockton.
Yeah, so Will Johnston's a great addition, a big lefty, and he's I wouldn't call it a power arm, but this guy's got an idea how to pitch. I think he's kind of advanced in you know, looking at hitters and knowing reading swings. Finley's a guy that came to us, if you remember, he was a two-way guy at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time he's been able to just settle in as a pitcher. He's got good stuff. 94, 95, 96 at times of a hard slider. So hopefully those guys. There's a couple of, so far, a couple of wink links in that 10-man with some guys that aren't really performing when it comes to throwing strikes. So hopefully a little bit more time on the mound, a little bit more education and experience, and things will get taken care of.
Well, I'm assuming as well with this, you know, these 10-man rotations that it allows for a little flexibility. If somebody's really struggling, you know, you've got the ability to move them out and just sort of move the pieces around. Or if somebody's, you know, arm is a little tired,
yeah.
You know.
It sounds like you've heard me talk about this
before. Yeah, I mean, that is certainly one thing, you know. I mean, it definitely is going to allow you a lot of flexibility. And you know, there will be inevitable injuries, even if you're able to minimize them, you know. So you've got a few more guys used to starting anyway, so it's a, you know, it's interesting.
That's the whole deal, you know. You got a six-man bullpen now in both those clubs.
Yeah,
so your options are endless. And you know what the 10-man is doing, it's basically guaranteeing the manager and the pitching coach at least 120 bullets a night. You got
right
from
right.
Two starters.
Yeah, and you know
so in that
I would assume also, you know, it's a good way to audition more guys as starting pitchers too, right? I mean, you get to see how these guys
exactly
actually perform in that role,
and they get a taste when they're the tandem guy. They're getting a taste of being treated like a starter,
right?
But they're coming in out of the bullpen. But you know, one of the dynamics of that is they come. If you watch, they come in for a clean inning,
mm-hmm.
And they're not coming in before the
right.
fifth.
Right.
So anything that has to bridge in between, if a guy only, you know, gets to his pitch count in the third, they go to the bullpen and bring in a bullpen piece to get him to at least the fifth. Or if the tandem guy is getting in trouble and he can't get to his 45, you go to his bullpen. So, but the biggest thing, Bill, is like I said, it's health,
yeah.
And it's about strike throwing, and hopefully this program, once we get halfway through it mid-season, will give us some better ideas of where we're at.
Yeah, well, hopefully if it can minimize the injuries at all, that's a big plus, because that, you know, as we know, that's what hurts more than anything. You know, it's worse than a lackluster performance is not being able to perform at all. You know,
without a doubt, and it forces you to move guys up and put them in spots where they don't necessarily belong and put them in situations that they're not ready for. And it just creates havoc when you're rummaging around the bottom of your system trying to fill pieces throughout your whole system because of injuries.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's not even talking about the missed time that we have with these guys.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the course of the season and who emerges from these 10-man rotations as you know, the most promising and prominent guys, you know, with all this sort of audition time they've got. Hopefully they'll stay healthier and we'll be able to separate the wheat from the chaff a little more easily.
That's what we're hoping for.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to talk about all these guys. As we know, in Oakland, you can get the call to the big club at any time. So, you know, before the end of the season, we could be seeing half of these guys we've talked about here today. And now we know a whole lot more about them. So thanks again, Grady. We certainly appreciate your time. And I hope you have a good trip in Midland. And if anybody's off track there, I hope you help get him back on track.
Bill, as usual, good talking to you, man.
And thanks to all of you out there for listening to this edition of our A's Farm podcast. Be sure to check back in for the next episode. And don't forget that you can always find updates on the A's top prospects and all the daily action in the A's minor league system on our A's Farm website at athleticsfarm.com. That's athleticsfarm.com. Thanks again. I'm A's Farm Editor-in-Chief Bill Moriarty, and we'll see you again down on the farm.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.